Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationship podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be comparing two shows about the same true story. Candy on Hulu and Love and Death on Max.
Never gets easier.
It really, truly never will. But first, TV news. Jordan, share the good news with everyone.
Well, the shock of the century, bringing this country together again. Kim Cattrall is going to return as Samantha Jones on And Just Like That for a cameo in season two.
I cannot wait. I really, truly thought it would never happen.
Oh, same.
I saw on a, I think it was a Variety article that said it's, she's going to appear in one scene and she will not be seeing or speaking with any of the other stars in the show.
It's like very iconic
with Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. And you know what? That's really all we need. I mean, in a perfect world, Samantha would be like back and part of the group because I think that would bring a much needed dynamic back. But I think it'll be fun to live in the fantasy that like kind of they're like friends again, at least can talk on the phone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I'm very pleased.
Yeah, I'm just happy to have her back in the universe and not like this like weird imaginary figure looming over everyone.
Yes. I mean, because it was very odd. Like, it was a pretty weird decision that they made to have her be just like G-chatting Carrie.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they've upgraded the story to have her be like speaking to her on the phone. And she just has like, her voice is just so iconic, like I'm so excited. I did see a tweet of someone saying like, imagine if they had left, like they hadn't said and like pre-announced this and everyone just saw it in the episode and was like, oh my gosh, tonight is a must watch or something like that. I can see it going either way because now the hype is so high for the show that a lot of people make fun of, but the surprise factor would have been fun, but it doesn't really bother me. I feel like it almost bothers me less than the Aiden reveal, you know?
Yeah, same. It like makes it's like, this is making people want to watch it more, where I feel like the yes. Aiden reveal made it a little bit more anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was kind of like, huh? Like, just kind of confusing, but okay.
I don't know much about what this means since I haven't watched Yellowjacket season two, but I thought it was interesting because they're going to be releasing like a bonus episode. Like the season ended and they're going to release a bonus episode in between the second and third seasons.
Interesting. Like a Euphoria means. Type thing?
Yeah. Maybe? I don't know.
I need to watch season two. I know everyone says it's not that amazing, but I'm still intrigued. It's still like a story, like kind of a mystery that I like want to know the answers, you know? So yeah, I'll watch it.
And like the cast and.
Yeah. We love the cast.
We really
and
like
our
the first season.
Yeah. First season's amazing. One of our favorite boyfriends is in this new season, John P. So it'll still be fun. Just going in with the expectation that it's not as strong.
Yeah.
Black Mirror, they announced the official date when they're dropping what they're referring to as five films. That's what their trailer says.
Oh, interesting. Which,
yeah, I'm intrigued. So it's like, are they going to be like an hour and a half instead of like an hour?
Or like a Marvel 3-hour type of thing.
Yeah. Good point. But they're dropping on June 15th. And it's like each of these films/episodes get in this one trailer, get kind of like a summary of like what's going on ish and who's in which ones. So it's a fun trailer.
Okay, that is fun. And June 15th is so soon. That's literally in 10 days. Great.
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, on July 14th. I just thought this news was funny. Oh, it is a big day. That is the day that we will be seeing Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, in Denver, Colorado. So, but it's also the day that Netflix, this honestly feels so funny to even say now since it's like, I couldn't care less about it, but apparently Netflix is doing like another Bird Box movie called Bird Box Barcelona.
What?
And I just think it's so funny because I didn't catch on to this because I wasn't on the side of TikTok, but I think that the Bird Box movie had like a resurgence kind of recently. And like my little brother was like, I just watched this movie that was like really good called Bird Box. Ever heard of it? And I was like, what? You mean that really, that movie from like 2018?
And that's the one with Sandra Bullock, right? I never watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z, why is Gen Z discovering Bird Box?
I don't know, but it was enough to make them make another
one. Wow. You know, Gen Z, I feel like kind of loves Netflix because they go crazy for like Outer Banks and stuff and Ginny and Georgia, which like I have never been like compelled to start, but like they're very popular. Like they know all those people's names.
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
They're keeping Netflix in business.
Thanks for keeping us young by keeping me informed about the latest hip trends like Bird Box Barcelona. That makes it sound like it's like The Amazing Race or something. Or like a new Survivor season.
Yeah, it really does.
That is wild. So is it like only Spanish actors? Like, or is Sandra Bullock coming back? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Sorry, I'm asking so many follow-up questions for something I don't really care about either.
And for something that I saw on Just Jared and didn't click on.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I have one more piece of news, and it is even dumber than that. And it is that they announced that Kim Kardashian's character on American Horror Story is going to be named Siobhan.
Oh my gosh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How could you ever put another Siobhan into the TV universe?
We just lost the most iconic Siobhan in history. We need time to say goodbye to that name. And Ryan Murphy is giving that name to Kim Kardashian. So funny. I saw some people on Twitter that were like, Kim's entering her like Irish era.
Did you see there was like some like paparazzi footage of them, her and Emma Roberts filming a scene? And it looked I don't know why, but they just like looked so awkward and funny.
Oh my gosh. I don't know for sure if they've announced like the theme of this new season, but it is their 12th season, which is pretty wild.
That's insane. What an interesting new segment.
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. That was a lie. I do have one more that I saw.
Okay, let's hear it.
And that they are developing Hocus Pocus 3 at Disney.
I did see that. And
I was reading the Variety article because I wanted to, I was like, are they going to do theatrical since the Disney Plus one, like, got mixed reviews. I liked it. I thought it was fine. But like, everyone watched it. Like, it did really good numbers for them. So it's like, would they put it in theaters? But probably will still be Disney Plus. But I didn't see. But what I did see is that they hinted that maybe it would be, they would bring Max and Allison, like the teens from the original one, back for the third one, which I thought was cute. Mm. So kind of intrigued.
That'd be a good idea. Pulls me in a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. Okay, now I'm done.
Moving on to our top three. Something fun that happens in the Hulu show Candy that we watched is that the two main actors, Melanie Lynskey and Jessica Biel, their husbands are in it as well, playing cops. So, aka Justin Timberlake of NSYNC. Let that sink in. And Jason Ritter, friend of the pod. So we were very excited. I mean, I won't speak for Jordan, but Jordan knows that I actually didn't even realize that it was them until like probably 10 minutes too late. But once I did, I was screaming. It was so funny.
Hilarious. Well, it was like, really have to do a double take. It was like, this actor looks familiar. I was like, that is Justin Timberlake.
You look bad.
He looked horrible. I'm sure he was like, I need to look like a real actor, you know?
Yes, Tiff. So they probably can take me seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still found him extremely distracting in there, but.
Like, has he been in anything since Wish Upon a Star? Because that was my favorite. Or not Wish Upon a Star. Model Behavior.
Behavior. Yes. Two amazing, amazing iconic movies.
They were both amazing. But yes, Model Behavior is one of my favorite shows growing up. And.
Yes. Well, he was in Trolls.
How could I forget?
So he has done voice acting.
Okay.
He wasn't bad. It's just his presence is just too known. Oh, duh. He's in Social Network. And he's really good in Social Network.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
So I know he can act. It was just kind of like a weird... I mean, we can get into it, I guess, later. But to me, it was kind of funny where it's like... They show up at like the part where they are literally finding... Like they found a dead body and it's like very grisly and... It was like, this is kind of a serious moment. And now I'm really distracted because here comes Sergeant Justin Timberlake or whatever. Like, I thought it was very silly. But also fun. Fun little moment.
It was fun for me to, like, think about the four of them, like, going out and getting dinner and, like, prepping for that work the next day where all four of them were working.
Yeah, it's so true. Especially because, like, Melanie and Jason are, like, could not be more down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Jessica and Justin are like, they're probably pretty fun to hang out with, but they're like celebrities.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Actually, that's an NSYNC pun right there. Celebrity.
Hey. Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, that dynamic is just very funny.
Well, and it was interesting. So our top three is our favorite IRL couples who worked on a TV show together. And it's funny because, like, a lot of mine, actually, I don't really know. I have a long list of people to choose from. And because it was just, like, really fun for me to think of these people. And a lot of them are, like, people that met on this show and then kind of became a couple. So, like, this was kind of fun where it was, like, these couples were already married. Meaning Melanie and Jason and Jessica and Justin. But, like... And then they worked, like, they brought their spouses to, like, work on this show. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's fun. So, who's one of your favorite couples that worked on a TV show together?
Well, my number three, because I bet there's crossover with some of my other ones with your list. But I'm impressed you come up with such a long list. I was kind of drawing a blank for some. So I'll probably hear yours and be like, oh, wow, how could I forget? But my number three is there's an arc on Scrubs where Zach Braff dates Mandy Moore. And they were a couple in real life at the time.
And does she play herself?
No, she plays like a different character. But it's like they are really – it's really fun and they – it's just it's a couple of my favorite episodes of all time of Scrubs, and I love those episodes. And I know they're still like friendly because I saw her comment on one of his Instagrams this year where he posted like he posted a throwback pic of him at like theater camp or something, and she was like, and I think she like went there and she was like, yeah, that camp like for life or something. And I was like, wow, you love to see it.
Wow, you need to be on, like, you need to send that to Comments by Celebs. I never saw that one. And I feel like there needs to be, like, a subgenre of Comments by Celebs where it's, like, Comments by Celebs who dated one another.
Yeah, like comments by celebs with extra context or like
yeah.
spicy context or something like that, because it's very, if you know, you know, but otherwise mm-hmm. you'd be like, huh, who cares? But it really matters to me.
Okay, well, my number three is they've never been confirmed as a couple, but I kind of believe the rumors. And it's Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar Jones from Normal People.
Oh.
People think that
it would
maybe
be hard to be on a show like that and not actually be together at all.
I feel like it'd be impossible. And like people think that maybe they were a throuple with Phoebe Bridgers, or that he's dating Daisy now. And
oh, I would actually love that.
I would too. So this is me manifesting and confirming that it happened, even though I have no idea.
That, well, sorry, I got distracted just imagining that. Because I love this fanfic I'm writing in my head right now where, like, because I loved Paul and Phoebe together. I was actually kind of sad when I heard about, even though I like Bo Burnham too, but they were both in couples that I really liked already, you know? So I was like, what? But if Paul then goes, like, returns to someone he's really close to, like Daisy, that's very romantic.
I agree. Sorry, I was yawning so big. I couldn't stop.
You had, like, four yawns.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I loved it. It was like, I'm recording with a little baby. Okay, my number two, I feel like this is probably one you have. I feel like it's kind of an obvious one, but Kit Harington and Rose Leslie on Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of the ones where, like, I think they met there. I think that's what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just really cute. And I love that they're still together. And it's been a while now.
Yeah.
And especially because, like, their characters have a tragic end in the show. So it's, like, fun that actually they're still in love now.
Yeah, like, she wasn't on it for super long.
Yeah.
And so then, like, they were still dating and together when she wasn't even on the show anymore. Just cute.
It is really cute.
My second one is Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst from Fargo. I love that they got to work together, and I just will always love them.
Well, that's where they met too, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
I love that one too, because it's like Kit and Rose Leslie, they're like a very romantic, like, they're kind of like spicy couple on the show, but like Kirsten and Jesse Plemons' characters were kind of in like a blah marriage, you know, like like, I think the circumstances are, that's really funny that they actually have like such in real life chemistry when like the point of their marriage is that like she's kind of bored, you know, in the show. So I think that is, it's like more unpredictable for you to get together with your co-star in that scenario, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. They're just like one of our best couples that we have right now, by far.
And I just never would have suspected that they would get together. Like, they just, and that's what I really love about it.
Yeah. My number one is Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally on Parks and Rec.
Couple goals. Yes.
They are so funny, and it's really funny to watch it because their dynamic is so like out of like outrageous and toxic on Parks, but then like knowing that they're like madly in love with each other in real life is hilarious.
They're so funny, and like seeing interviews or like any interaction between the two of them in real life, it's just like they are so fun and like totally themselves and like comfortable with each other, and I love it.
Yes, they are truly couple goals. And I think like she's like, I think maybe 10-ish years older than him, which
Cool. That is cool. That is fun. Okay, my number one is Carrie Russell and Matthew Rice. Is that how you say his last name? I can never pronounce it.
Never know if it's Rice or Reese. Never know. To me, his last name is Reese, Rice, Reese, because it's going back and forth between which sounds right.
Then that's what we're going with. On the Americans, I remember finding out that they were married, and did they meet on that show too?
I think they did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
And like, they're Carrie Russell and Matthew are just like, they're kind of like a mystery to me. Like, I want to know more. Like, especially the more I learn about Matthew and like that boat that he restored and like takes people on boat tours. I'm still obsessed with that.
Yes.
And like, he's just so goofy and funny.
To me, their vibe is that they appear like they're serious people and mm-hmm. they actually are silly goofballs. Yes. Which is like my favorite type of fact to learn about someone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. My bonuses, Game of Thrones, Kit and Rosie was one of them. Pete Campbell and Trudy on Mad Men was one, but they're divorced now. Is that her name, Trudy?
No, you're mixing up Alexis Bledel with Alison Brie's character.
Oh, yeah. You know, you knew what I meant.
I knew exactly what you... Well, because I was Googling actors, like, married couples that have acted together. I forgot they got divorced. That's too bad.
Yeah, it is sad. And my other two were Emily Van Camp and Joshua Bowman from Revenge.
Iconic. And I think they're still together, I think.
They're still together. Yeah, I just saw something about them recently, actually.
Cute.
And then that show on Hulu that I watched, Tell Me Lies, the two main characters are together in that now, too.
Wow. Hot.
Very hot.
My two bonuses, one of them, it's funny because it's like, okay, cool. But it's another Mad Men one. Roger Sterling and his real life wife played his ex-wife in Mad Men.
And he's like always arguing with
and stuff. And that's just kind of a fun trivia fact a little bit. Because she's like not really in it that much. And I also had, even though they weren't together when they were on the show, but Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis on That 70s Show. Because
yes,
that's one of my favorite actually Hollywood love stories. Like, I don't necessarily like care that much about them, but I do love the story that they like were like teenagers together for so long and then like decades later end up married with kids. Like, that is really a good story.
They lived another whole life without each other basically and then came back together.
Yes.
It is very special. Want to give the listeners a rundown of this true crime story that is portrayed in Candy and Love and Death?
Basically, it's in the late 70s. There is like a very tight-knit church community, and one of the kind of like social leaders, this woman named Candy Montgomery, has an affair with another like married man that's also in the community basically. And then like eventually kills his wife. And stuff happens before, in between, and after, you know?
As every story has.
Yes.
There's a before, middle, and end.
Yeah. And it was just so funny that there's these two shows that came out within a year of each other. And I feel like they do have a lot of differences, but also are very similar in a lot of ways, too. And it was, like, kind of surreal watching both. Like, I actually had a lot of fun watching both, even though I did it in an unhinged way. And I would watch one episode of Love and Death and then one episode of Candy. And then I would, like, switch back and forth. And I actually really enjoyed myself.
I honestly think that you probably had more fun than me because, like, I think that you were still like unlocking parts of the story, bits and pieces, and like putting it together through the episodes that way. Where I watched all of Love and Death first, and then I watched all of Candy second. And I felt very bored watching Candy because I was just like waiting. Like, they were in Candy, they time jump a lot. And in Love and Death, it's straightforward and within mm-hmm. the timeline. And yeah. I was surprised that I was getting confused, even though I knew the story already. And it made me wonder mm-hmm. if I would be even more confused had I not watched Love and Death already. Like, the time jumping to me mm-hmm. was a little too confusing, and the storytelling wasn't matching up as well as yes. it did in Love and Death.
I agree with you. There was something, well, for starters, I agree. I think that if I had watched one straight through and then the next one straight through after, I think I would have been bored out of my mind because it is so repetitive. So the way I was doing it, it was kind of just like funny because I was like, oh, I just saw you give this whole speech like word for word, but a different actor saying it. But I think, yeah, if I had to sit through it, I feel like it would have felt like work, especially because I think overall, I Love and Death is better than Candy. They both had things I liked. I don't think that Candy was like bad. I just think like, I agree with you about the storytelling chronologically was more effective and I think gave it more nuance than Candy had. Mm-hmm. But specifically where I was wondering too, if I would have been confused if I didn't have the extra context from the other show, was Candy's like therapy, like hypnosis therapy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like they never really explained what was going on. I would have been like, I don't really, like, who's this person? I don't know. But since I had all this extra background knowledge, because I literally watched a long explanation of it in the HBO version, I knew what was going on. So I had that same thought you were thinking.
Something they did in Candy was, like, for so many scenes, they had, like, just, like, it was under a red light. And, like, very yes. dark rooms with a red light. And I was like, I'm confused. Because, like, if it was always in, like, one singular room that just, like, always had a red light on, that would make more sense. But it was, like, in multiple scenes in multiple locations. And I was like, it's mm-hmm. really hard to see what's going on. And they did that with the therapy session. And it kind of made mm-hmm. it seem like this, like, therapist was, like, a really bad guy and, like, sketchy.
Yeah, like, she was being tortured.
Yes.
I also kind of thought they were like, I didn't really think this, but I was like, it looks like they're developing photography in like a dark yes. room. Like, it was really odd. I felt like Candy felt very rushed in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. And so you missed out on a lot of like character nuance. But I do also think Love and Death was a little too slow for a lot of it. So I feel like somewhere in between the two shows would be like the perfect pacing, you know?
It's funny, and maybe it's because I was bored because I already knew the story, but also in Candy, it felt like there was actually a lot of unnecessary information and like really long scenes. Like, I kind of was not paying attention in one of the episodes, and so when I went back to watch it again, I was like, let me rewind and like see if what I missed, and like, did I actually watch this? I can't remember. So I was like fast forwarding and like, and rewinding a lot, and like, every time I was always landing on like pauses where no one was talking and just like dramatic music playing. Like, there were lots of like montages I was realizing, and I was like, this is like, it was just unnecessarily long. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they made some weird choices, which makes me want to talk about kind of like the specific differences.
Yeah, please.
For starters, in Love and Death, Jesse Plemons plays the man that Candy has an affair with. His name is Alan. And he is probably the least attractive I've ever seen Jesse Plemons. And he's like very, his character is like very quiet and like kind of like awkward and not like worldly. Like, he kind of is just like, It's like it's a surprising choice that Candy like solicits him to have an affair with her, like invites him, you know, like,
because she's like an interesting choice. Charismatic and
yeah, because
like,
she is like kind of, yeah, she's like the Miss Popular of like the church, of like out of all the church moms, you know, and mm-hmm. she's like really cute and talkative and all this stuff, and so it's like kind of an odd couple situation, and so I thought it was interesting in Candy. In this one, Alan is like very attractive and like muscular and doesn't really come off as awkward in any way. Like, seems like very normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was like, it was kind of funny to me that they made these like artistic differences that they made with his character. And I don't know. That was kind of the fun of watching them simultaneously, was like the differences were glaring when I would switch back and forth between episodes.
Yeah.
But I thought that one of the things was one of the differences was the affair, I felt like in Love and Death, like, had a lot of nuance, and I feel like it was a more sympathetic portrayal of Candy. I felt like the affair in Candy, sorry, it's so confusing to just say, keep saying Candy so many times when it's her name, but also the title of the show. In the show, the Hulu show, Candy, I feel like the affair was like kind of basic. Like, he's not attracted to his pregnant wife, and Candy's like the horniest woman on earth, and that's why she wants to have an affair. Even though in the Hulu show, her husband, Timothy Simons, is like the nicest husband on earth. So that was really funny too. I was like, he's so cute and nice. He's like teaching his kids and reading stories and like all this stuff. And
so charismatic.
In the HBO one, yeah, like he's like a very like normal, fun guy. In the HBO one, it kind of makes sense why Candy would be seeking an affair, because she feels like pretty ignored at home. He just sits and watches TV all day, you know, and like they
and
don't
like
really
they
talk.
Show that. Yes.
Yes. So that made sense. In the Hulu one, I was like, I'm confused as to like, literally she is obsessed with like sexy romance novels, and then she hears of her friend has like a new hot boyfriend, and that's what makes her want to have an affair. Like, it's just like I feel like it was interesting, and they kind of, to me, it kind of made Candy, the character in the Hulu one, come off as like, I feel like they kind of made her a little like quirkier and odder than the HBO Candy character, mm-hmm. who I thought was mm-hmm. like, felt like more of a real relatable person, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a way hard time with Jessica Biel's Candy in the Hulu show, because I just like, it didn't feel like a real person to me. Like, there was honestly like no emotion. Like, I didn't have any sort of like, no ties to her whatsoever. And like, I agree with the affair, like when they, I think they like barely showed them ever even like meeting and talking, her and
yeah.
Alan. And so when they did, it was like, do they even like you? Like, why are they even, like, they look like they're, like, having hate sex.
It was like, very off-putting to
me. It was. Where in Love and Death, the HBO show, Elizabeth Olsen, I don't think we've mentioned her yet, but she's playing Candy.
Oh, yeah.
And she's, like, her character is just, like, so, she's so good. Like, I, like, really liked her mm-hmm. as a character. Which, so, I mean, it kind of was interesting, because in Love and Death, they portray it as more of a self-defense, and, like, it was kind of an accident, and, like, you have more sympathy.
An accident.
for Candy, where in Candy, the Hulu show, it's definitely, like, makes it look like maybe it was premeditated, or like definitely just like more cold hearted, I guess. They did not want you to like have any sympathy on Candy, and actually wanted you to kind of be like mad in the ending. Mm-hmm. I think
I totally, well, first of all, I feel like she like smiles at the camera, like she just got away with something.
Yes.
Like when they're leaving the courthouse and stuff, which I was like, huh? I definitely felt like Love and Death was kind of team Candy, because they were very, it was like, you feel a lot of sympathy for her and her mental state kind of thing. And like, I feel like she still had the same quirks that they show in the Hulu one. Like when she and Alan make a list of pros and cons of why they should or should not have an affair, which is really funny. But like when it was like cuter in the HBO one, that they're like, wow, like she's such a type A person kind of mm-hmm. thing, and like a perfectionist. And in the Hulu one, I was just like, well, she is weird. This girl is weird.
Well, and I think a lot of it also has to do with, in the HBO one, she has like a lot of relationships with like friends. Like she has a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And in the Hulu
one, and we get to see that. We see those discussions. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't see that in the Hulu one. So it really seems like she's just kind of a loner, loser kind of person.
And I think like pretty much the one thing I knew about the show Candy when it dropped on Hulu last year was Jessica Biel's wacky wig. And I mean, that doesn't, the wig choice, I think, was a bad choice for the show because they were probably trying to make Jessica Biel look less sexy and hot, you know, because she looks like a supermodel. But like, it made her character look like seem weird. It really did. And it didn't really look like that's really what the real Candy Montgomery's hair really looked like. And so I just feel like that was a ridiculous choice, that wig.
I totally agree.
The one thing that Hulu did better, I think, was Melanie Lynskey starring as Betty, the murdered wife.
Yeah.
Because I think that Lily Rabe is amazing, who plays the same character in the HBO one. Like, the things I've seen her in, she rules. But when I would be kind of switching back, like when I would be watching, especially when I was switching back to the HBO episodes after Betty was murdered, I was still picturing her character as Melanie Lynskey. Like I was picturing Melanie Lynskey as married to Jesse Plemons because her character stuck out more to me. And I wonder, as we're talking, it's like Hulu is kind of setting Candy up to be like a murderer, like psycho you're not supposed to root for. And so they were actually maybe more sympathetic to Melanie Lynskey's character because you see, like, I feel like she had more screen time than Lily Rabe had in the HBO one.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I knew Melanie's character better than I knew that character in the HBO one, which made me more sympathetic to Candy than to her. But then in the Hulu one, even though Melanie Lynskey's character was like not really like a fun character to be around, like it's kind of like Candy's supposed to be kind of like the fun, charming friend, and Melanie Lynskey is kind of the weird like loner who's sulky and cranky all the time. But like I could see more of her home life and how like she's always like she deals with really horrible anxiety and depression. So I just feel like Melanie Lynskey was the best part of the Hulu one, which like shocker.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like I felt the same way, like I was picturing her, like I picture her right now when I'm thinking of that character.
Right? I feel like I can see her acting with Elizabeth Olsen. Like it's weird. Yes.
It is very, very odd. And I just wish we could have seen her in the HBO one because I think they had better writing.
Yes, for sure. Well, because something that bothered me, and I know it must have bothered you too, because we both are very passionate about like body positivity things, but they totally had this spin where it was like Melanie Lynskey's character I've talked all the time. I was like, oh, I haven't lost the baby weight yet. And like all this stuff to like kind of further the plot that the husband just wasn't attracted to his wife anymore and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like that didn't factor into the HBO one at all. Like,
no, that's not. It was like she has postpartum depression.
Yeah. So, yeah, I felt like that was lazy. I thought because the HBO one, like people have affairs all the time and it has nothing to do with attraction. A lot of the time, mm-hmm. you know, like
rarely ever
or like a lack of attraction. And so I felt like that was one more way that the affair was more nuanced in the HBO one.
Yeah, I actually I'm glad you brought that up, because when that happened, I was like bummed and I was like kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm surprised that Melanie Lynskey didn't like say, let's change this. And maybe she did.
She's I don't know, because I was like, oh, seriously? We're going there. That's so basic, you know?
Mm-hmm. We've kind of already been talking spoileries, but like if you're not wanting to hear a spoiler, here's a big spoiler. But something they brought up in the very end of the Hulu show was that she had another affair, and they did not bring that up at all in the HBO show.
I think earlier today I was like, okay, they dropped something in the Hulu one that I was waiting to see in the HBO one that never popped up. I was so annoyed that they just say that and then like you never get to find out any other details about Candy's other affair. Like we didn't see it happen. It's really
weird.
Were you
assuming it was someone? I'm curious if we were thinking the same person.
I didn't even guess who it was. Who did you think?
I don't, for some reason in my head I had a feeling it was the lawyer. But I don't know why.
Well, I mean that would make sense because that's something comparing the two shows. The lawyer in the HBO one, the guy from Ozark.
He looked so bad and so
Mr.
old.
Mr. Kaley Cuoco. The only time he looked not bad was when he was like showering. That one time he had his shirt off and I was like, oh, he's hot. But then his like wig came back on and I was like, no, he doesn't look very good. But I still love that guy.
Me too.
And he looked cute next to Jesse. But he was like a really interesting, good character. And in the Hulu one, he was just like, he felt like your cliche, like dirty lawyer, kind of like car salesman type guy, you know, like sleazy. Yeah. And so I don't know. I feel like they really needed to drop more hints because I was really intrigued by that fact that actually it wasn't even just Alan. Like she'd been unfaithful again. Even mm-hmm. though she's the one who got a nice husband, nice fun husband. So all he wants to do is take his kids to see Empire Strikes Back.
What's wrong with that?
It's adorable. I don't know why they left it out of the HBO one. I feel like that would have been very intriguing, especially because like they get divorced eventually anyway. My last thing is that it was fun to see a Buddy Garrity and Landry reunion Friday Night Lights. Heads in the HBO one.
Buddy Garrity. Because
Buddy Garrity was the sheriff.
Oh, I didn't even put that together. That is so fun. I don't know how I didn't even think about that. Wow, I love that. Cute. That is special. I was going to say I really enjoyed the intro credits to Candy. I had a really fun time watching them.
I thought they looked cool, but I could not fast forward quick enough because they were so long.
They were so long. They were basically 2 minutes long. I watched them one time and was like, wow, I love these. These are cool. But then I fast forwarded every time.
They had much better graphics than the HBO one. That's true for those
yeah,
intros.
Yeah, and I did like a lot of the set design of Candy. Like there was specifically mm-hmm. that one like Volkswagen truck that Jonah got in and I was like, what? Wow, that's a fun car. And I liked it. Overall, I think I would recommend Love and Death to almost anyone and everyone and say Candy could be skipped.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I also really liked their house in that
yes.
one. Yes. I remember really liking that too. Like I actually was kind of expecting the Hulu one to like suck in compared to the HBO one in comparison. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say that it was terrible. I just Love and Death was better.
I think if I had watched Candy before even knowing about Love and Death, like just when it came out, I would have probably enjoyed it fine. Mm-hmm. But watching them back to back and like comparing the two stories, I was just like way more invested in Love and Death.
Totally. Do you think that this true crime story is intriguing enough that we needed two TV shows about it?
Probably not. I do think it is interesting to have woman-to-woman crime. I think that is interesting mm-hmm. and not something that we see a lot.
True.
So I thought it was like, I didn't know about it. I did think it was really interesting that a lot of the people are still alive. Like, it wasn't that long ago. Like, everyone's still alive except for the person who was obviously murdered. But, like, mm-hmm. And that always makes me feel a little bit iffy about it.
Yeah, that's true. Because now they have to deal with these two TV shows out there with, like, really famous people in them mm-hmm. and stuff. That would be really traumatizing. I was actually legitimately surprised that Candy got, like, she didn't go to prison. Like, I thought that the jury would find her guilty. So I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually very shocked by that.
Yeah, like, it was fun to watch because I had no idea what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It was really, really entertaining to me to watch both at the same time and hear the same things over and over, which are clearly direct quotes from the real people, because mm-hmm. why they wouldn't repeat them verbatim like that. I think the one I told you about was like, I've heard Candy say that her speech about, oh, I went to go get the swimsuit and then I went to Target and then I realized my watch had stopped and then I drove back and I missed the puppet show. I heard that so many times, but it was like so comical to hear it like, wow, this is how Elizabeth Olsen would interpret this and here's how Jessica Biel would interpret it. I don't know. It was like, I just feel like I'll never have that opportunity again.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say, I'm kind of sad that I don't know that we'll, like, I want to be the person that does that next time, but I don't know if there will be next time.
Yeah, it's just so weird. I feel like, I think that something funny about that these two shows exist is that it feels kind of like this, it definitely is like a pretty crazy story, mm-hmm. but it's like not, I don't know, it's, there's so much like, there's so many mundane aspects to the story that it's funny that to make like two shows about the same topic, this is the topic that it was. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Yeah, very. And like, especially like in Hollywood, I think it's like well known like who's making what and like what people are kind of working on, especially for mm-hmm. like I'm sure Melanie Lynskey like got scripts for both parts kind of thing, you know, like,
yeah, that's so true.
Okay, who's your crush of the week?
My crush, I mean, I feel like we never watch shows that have Jason
Ritter. I was gonna say, if you don't pick Jason Ritter, I will be shook.
He looked really cute in it, actually, I thought. And something I was telling Taylor earlier was like, when Justin Timberlake and Jason Ritter popped up, I kind of thought they'd be like in one scene, but they actually were in like multiple episodes because they were kind of like the main cops investigating it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, they're in this like a lot. They have a lot of lines. This is kind of funny for like cameos that are kind of like a little inside joke of casting, but that just makes it more legitimate for me to choose him as my crush, because it wasn't like he was on screen for one frame and then never came back.
Well, and it was fun because they played like cops that like are buddy buddy and like,
yeah,
were like playing off of each other really well. And it's just funny to think of Jason Ritter and Justin Timberlake together in a room. And honestly,
yes,
Jason Ritter looked cuter in comparison to Justin Timberlake's character, which is very impressive.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, I'm going to give my crush of the week to Elizabeth Olsen. I just feel like she killed it, and it was so fun to watch her. And I loved all of her like outfits, and
mm-hmm.
just like the way that she spoke was like very beautiful to me and like enchanting. And mm-hmm.
she had like the perfect accent.
Yes. Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. She was really good. I loved some of my favorite parts with her were when she's like singing to the radio.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
It was very fun.
Feel free to watch them at the same time like Jordan did. And if you do, let us know.
Please do. Has anyone else in the world done that?
That's kind of fun to think about. Are you literally the only person in the world who's done that? Put you in the Guinness book.
Yeah, who wants to write a think piece on me? And all the time I have on my hands.
All right, well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.